From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, flip your Bergens, help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night and time again transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Snurd, Effie Clinker, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, yours truly, John Heaston, and our special guest, diet expert, Adele Davis. And here they are now, the stars of our show, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, hello, folks. This is the one and only little old Charlie McCarthy. And you're going to see a good show today.
That is, unless Bergen shows up.
Woof, woof. Testing, testing. One, two, three, testing. Woof, 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 woof.
1, 2, 3. I think our PA is a little PU.
Testing. Woof, woof.
I say, old boy, what are you barking about?
Oh, get away, boy. You bother me.
Yes.
Don't you know any better than to interrupt a hi-fi expert when he's busy experting? Yes?
Oh, Charles, you mean to say you're an expert in high fidelity?
That's right, Ray. Hi-fi is the rage everywhere.
Oh, yes.
People everywhere are clamoring for my services.
Oh, really? When are they going to be held?
Oh, you dear, dear, sweet boy. Well, I'm looking for business, so I'll ignore that one.
Well, I try.
Now, look, Ray, if you have me over, I'll adjust your set so it's exactly right for your ears.
Oh, speaking of yourself, I must tell you. Do you know what one of my ears said to the other?
What?
I didn't know you lived on this block. Who says the English don't have a sense of humor?
Well, I don't know, but you can add my name to their list, whoever they are. Well, how about it, chum? Are you going to use my services?
I still don't know, boy. How much do you charge?
Well, for a general good troubleshooting job, $10. For a super deluxe souping up, $15. And for $20, I'll keep my hands off it entirely. What's going on here, Charlie? Oh, well, so you finally got here, Bergie, huh? Folks, this is that atomic comic, Edgar Bergen, whose hair was the first victim of the radioactive fallout.
All right. That's about enough of that, young man.
Oh, I say, Edgar, Charles and I were discussing hi-fi.
Oh, hi-fi.
Hi-fi fidelity, yes.
Yes, indeed, you know. Yes, that's my favorite subject.
Uh-huh.
Charlie, did you know that the human ear can only hear sounds that have vibrations of frequency in cycles of from 30 to about 15,000.
Does that include Johnny Ray?
Yes. However, dogs can hear sounds as high as 20,000 cycles or more.
Uh-huh. Now, that's what's known as high fido.
Yeah, yeah.
So if any of you out there are hearing sound over 20,000 cycles, you better join a kennel club. You're a dog.
Sounds not loud enough to be heard are said to be below the threshold of audibility.
Really?
Yes. And sounds too high to be heard are said to be above the threshold of audibility.
Yes. You have now reached the second plateau.
Yes.
You want to go ahead, or you want to think it over for a week? Better still, just go.
No, never mind.
Tune in to Bergen's quiz show next week, folks. Instead of money, we're giving away Bergen.
No.
No, actually, Edgar, you know, I'm sure Charles knows all about hi-fi.
Yeah?
Well, he's in business fixing them, you know.
Sorry.
That's very interesting. Fixing hi-fi sets.
Yeah.
Oh. How many hi-fi sets have you worked on, Charlie?
Oh, thousands. Oh, well, 100. Maybe a dozen. How many? Well, it comes to a grand total of 1, really.
1. Well, I would never have an amateur like you messing with my hi-fi set.
No.
You know, I have one of the best sets there is.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. You certainly did.
What was that?
I mean, you do.
Do, yes. Just a moment, young man. Nothing has happened to my beautiful set, has it, Charlie?
You know, Bergen, that's one thing I've always liked about you. You're so optimistic.
I... Did you or did you not harm my hi-fi set?
Well, since you're nice enough to give me a choice, I'll say did not.
I agree.
And if I'm lying, may my mouth be washed out with chocolate malted.
Yes, I... Did you damage it or didn't you damage it?
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's take one thing at a time.
All right. What do you want to take first?
A powder.
Yeah. All right, out with it, Charlie. What happened?
Well, now, Bergen, I just meant to give your hi-fi set a once-over lightly, but I'm afraid I gave it a twice-over heavily.
All right. Go on.
I was trying to soup it up, you know. And you know what a lousy cook I am.
How is the set now? Does it play hi-fi at all?
Doesn't even play lo-fi. Is that...
This is awful.
I must have shorted the power transformer. I looked around and the room was suddenly flooded with moths.
Moths?
Yes. Isn't it odd? They always are attracted to flames.
Flames?
The darn thing was mined. There was a big flash of fire and somehow the tubes went out.
Well, the tubes can be replaced.
Yeah, but they went out through the roof.
Oh, through the roof. I see.
Yeah.
Charlie, tell me honestly, what is left of my set?
Well, let's put it this way. Here is the tuning knob.
Ah, I see. Well, that does it, Charlie. Bend over, young man.
Oh, no, Bergen, please.
Bend over?
Oh, I'm a big boy.
Bend over, young man. I'm going to give you a spanking that will be indelibly printed on your mind.
On my mind?
Yeah.
It's a roundabout way to get there, boy.
Bend over,
I'll turn again. I'll be. Oh, help, help.
Hello, Edgar, Charlie.
Well, Carol Richards.
Say, Edgar, what was all that commotion I just heard?
Oh, well, I was giving Charlie a little education.
Education?
Yeah.
Well, gee, I always thought Charlie was well-read.
Well, I am, but I hate to tell you where.
You better sing, Carol.
From this moment on, you and me, dear, only two for tea, dear. From this moment on, from this moment on, no more blue songs, only hoop-de-doo songs. From this moment on, for you've got the love I need so much, got the skin I love to touch, got the arms to hold me down, got the sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, will be riding high, babe. Every care is gone from this moment on. For you got the love I need so much, and you got the skin love to touch. You've got the arms to hold me tight. Got the sweet lips to kiss me goodnight. From this moment on, you and I, babe, will be riding high, babe. Every care is gone from this.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the do-it-yourself trend still sweeping the country, once again we proudly present our own do-it-yourself department.
Ow!
And now I'd like to present our do-it-yourself expert, Professor Three Finger Kirkwood.
Thank you.
This week, Professor Kirkwood has left his carpenter shop to bring us a subject that's close to all of our hearts. That is, how to vulcanize your girdle. Now, Professor, just how would you go about vulcanizing a girdle?
Well, that depends. Are you referring to yours or mine?
Just a moment, Professor. I don't own a girdle.
You mean you're renting the one you're wearing?
I am not wearing a girdle.
No?
No.
No, I'm not. Then you better put the pot in something, boy. Yeah. Personally, mine is killing me.
Oh. Tight, eh?
Well, I did have a few before, though.
No.
You mean my girdle?
The girdle, yes.
Silly me.
Oh, I say, how do you do, chap?
Well, hello, Ray. Professor Kirkwood is going to discuss how to vulcanize a girdle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I say, I tried wearing a girdle once, but I'm so frightfully thin, you know. I had to hold it up with suspenders.
Professor, let's get back to our subject.
Thank you, yeah. Well, tonight, I will teach you how to repair your worn-out and damaged foundation garments so that once again, you can be sitting pretty.
Oh, I hate myself.
Yes.
I think this is a worthy topic because today's girdles must take quite a beating.
Oh, you're right, old boy. Yes, yes. As a countryman of mine once said, never before in history have so many tried to get so much into so little.
Yes. Not bad. Maybe I can use that as a commercial on my new radio show.
Oh, I see. So you're going to have a radio show advertise your girdle?
That's right.
Oh?
I'm going to call it People Are Flabby.
Yes.
Or This Is Your Lard.
No. What's your theme song going to be? Something's got to give?
But I kind of like Love Is a Many-Corseted Thing.
Yeah.
Good. I say, how about Aisha coming out tonight?
Or I'm Walking Behind You.
Yeah. That sounds like quite a show you have there. Now, where will the commercial be?
I'll do the commercial.
Oh, I see. That'll be.
Yes. Ladies, do you have the feeling that you're being followed? Well, you are. It's you.
How about men? Are you still shipshape, or has your cargo shifted?
That's quite good. I kind of like, folks, do you have a Roman abdomen?
Or is your pot becoming a double boiler?
Yes. Or better yet, men, do you have a plunging waistline?
Or do you have a torso like a horso, only more so?
Or do you look like a huge moose with a loose caboose?
Yes.
Has your two-way stretch developed a four-way split?
Oh.
If has, then it's time for you to buy Professor Kirkwood's new contour coordinator.
Professor Kirkwood's girdle comes in three sizes, small, large, and here comes the showboat.
And for those of you who don't want a new foundation garment, we have a very choice retread with very low mileage.
Yes.
It was worn by an old lady from Pasadena.
So, don't forget, order our new Destiny girdle today.
I rather like that. Destiny girdle. How did you come up with
that? Well, that's right, boy. You know the famous saying, there's a destiny that shapes our end.
Oh, yeah. Now, Professor, what is the first thing you do when you go about to vulcanize a girdle?
Well, the first thing is to remove the occupant.
Oh, well.
Then you draw the two split portions back into place with a special kind of tape.
Scotch?
Okay, but hold the soda. I'm watching my figure.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Better make it no-cal scotch.
No-cal. Shall we get on?
Oh, if you insist. Next, we must take a piece of flat rubber or latex.
Latex.
That's rubber that has taken the cure. Then haven't we all?
Do you mind explaining a little more about vulcanizing, Professor?
Vulcanization is the process of treating crude rubber with sulfur compounds at high temperatures, the resulting product having greater elasticity and compression strength.
No! Now, what does that mean as far as girdles are concerned?
It's like a hot foot, only higher.
Oh, I...
Now, there are several processes used in vulcanizing the material, such as pressure, flame, heat.
Which method do you use?
I just breathe on it.
Careful, you're vulcanizing the microphone, Professor.
Now, to vulcanize or retread your foundation garment, the best method is to put it in your waffle iron.
Yeah.
Now, it's out in little raised squares, and this keeps your girdle from skidding on the curve.
Professor, I must say I find this a little hard to believe. Do you guarantee your word?
I guarantee everything I do. I vulcanize the girdle I'm wearing now.
Oh.
And I'll show you that it's stronger than ever. Now, watch me bend over and touch my toe. Here I go. Run for the hills, men. The dam is broken.
That's him all over. Good night, folks. Remember, you too can do it yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure to introduce a bright young star who has become a regular on our show, Gary Crosby.
Well, thank you very much, Edgar.
Yes, and what are you going to sing tonight, Gary?
Well, it's a cute little number I heard on some radio show. I think it was called Professor Kirkwood's Girdle Hour.
You mean?
Yes, something's got to give.
I see.
Now, when an irresistible force such as you meets an old immovable object like me, you can bet as sure as you live, something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give. Now, when an irrepressible smile such as yours warms an old implacable heart such as mine, don't say no because I insist. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna be killed. So on guard, who knows what the fates have in store from their vast, mysterious sky. I'll try hard, ignoring those lips I adore. But how hard can anyone try? Why don't fight, 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 fight with all of your might? And the chances are some heavenly star spangled night will find out as sure as we live. Something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give. Someone God, who knows what the fates have in store from their vast mysterious sky. I'll try hard, ignoring those lips I adore. But how long can anyone try? I don't fight, 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 fight with all of our might. And chances are some heavenly star-spangled night we'll find out as sure as we live. Something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something just did give. Something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something really got to give.
Oh, Oh, Mr. Bergen.
Yes, what are you laughing at, Mortimer?
Well, I just made up a riddle.
Well, good.
See if you can guess the answer. What's the difference between... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, between what?
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, I ain't giving away any hints.
Well, you better, Mortimer. Yeah. Well, say, what's that you're holding in your hand?
Oh, my fingers.
No. There's something wriggling there.
Oh, that's Leopold.
Yeah.
My pet caterpillar.
A pet caterpillar.
Yeah.
Have you had him long?
No, I raised him from a kitten pillar, I guess, yeah.
It's ridiculous. A caterpillar for a pet.
Yeah, I like caterpillars. They're kind of like people, only more human sometimes.
That's quite a large caterpillar.
Yeah, he's got about 40-12 hind legs there. And two curb feelers.
Curb feelers. They're not curb feelers. Lots of insects have those. They're two antennae.
Oh, I guess he lives in the fringe area.
Anyway, you and your caterpillar seem to get along fine together.
Oh, well, I teach him to do tricks, too, you know. You ought to see him do imitations.
Imitations?
Yeah.
What does he imitate?
Oh, other caterpillars. I do.
Well, a caterpillar can't learn tricks.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. Then how do you think they can learn to drive those tractors?
All right.
Show them a trick, Leopold. Sit up and beg, boy. Come on. Up, boy. Sit up and beg. Up, boy. Come on.
He isn't doing anything.
Oh, he's got a problem. Oh, I see. He don't know which end to sit up on.
Oh, I see. You know, you have the weirdest collection of pets.
Yeah, I imagine so, yeah.
Whatever happened to your pet ladybug?
Oh, I had to get rid of her.
Yeah.
Found out she was no lady. Oh, I did. I also got rid of my mashed potato bug.
A mashed potato bug?
Yeah, I stepped on him.
Oh, I see.
That's the way it goes.
Leopold's my favorite.
Yeah, Leopold's your favorite.
Yeah, shake hands, Leo. Come on, give me your paw. Come on, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Come on, boy.
He's not doing anything, is he?
Well, he's got so many of them, it takes him a little while, you know, to make up his mind.
Go ahead.
Watch him, Mr. Bergen. By this summer, Leopold's going to be the smartest caterpillar in the whole world.
I'm afraid not. Leopold won't be with you anymore. He'll have wings.
No. You mean I'm working him to death?
No.
You mean he's going to be an angel?
No. You see, I'm talking about the transformation from caterpillar to butterfly. It's known as metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis, sir?
You're not familiar with metamorphosis?
Oh, no. I met a lot of strange things, but I never metamorphosis.
There are certain facts of nature I better explain.
Oh, if you're going to get about birds and the fleas and stuff like that, oh, I get all blushy.
Well, now that's all right. That's bees, not fleas.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about the birds and the bees?
Well, I know they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Well, now let me tell you about caterpillars. A caterpillar works and spins a silk cocoon around himself.
They do?
Yeah, yeah. And eventually, you know what it becomes?
Pooped.
No, not pooped.
Well, a pretty good guess.
The caterpillar spins himself into a cocoon that has no opening. And then you know what he turns into?
Well, looks to me like he's turned into a dead-end street.
That's about it. It was a caterpillar when it went into the cocoon, but when it opens, it's a butterfly that comes out.
Oh, somebody goofed, huh?
No. Mother Nature changes caterpillars into butterflies.
Well, you mean Leopold is going to change into a sissy butterfly?
That's right. That's the law of nature.
Well, it's time those fellas got something done in Washington. Come on!
Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, The Mellow Man, and Ray Noble will be back after station identification. It's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. Folks, do you have a romantic problem? Girls, are you itching for a hitching? Men, do you need a shove toward love? As another of our public service features, we now bring you our Cupid's Corner. And here to answer your many letters and questions is that renowned authority on affairs of the heart, Miss Effie Clinker.
Good evening, Miss Clinker, and how are you tonight?
Oh, still looking.
Still looking. Still looking for a man.
That's right, dearie.
Yes. Aren't you getting a little old for that sort of thing?
Never, never, never. I may be running out of gas, but my pilot light is still burning.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Miss Clinker, perhaps you could tell us, just what kind of men do you prefer?
Oh, the male kind is all right.
Well, I mean, is there any special type?
I lean towards the tall, dark, handsome type.
Yes, you lean towards them?
Yeah, but they keep pushing me away.
All right.
I say, how'd you do, chaps?
Oh, dear, 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 dear. This one looks like a reject from the rescue mission.
Yeah.
Oh, the English really had it rough, didn't they?
Yeah.
I can't afford to be particular. How about a game of lemonade, honey?
Lemonade?
Yes. It's like post office with a little more squeezing.
Oh. Now, Miss Clinker, you're here to give advice to the love lord. Ray, have you any questions to ask Miss Clinker?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have, yes. Miss Clinker, do you think a moustache is detrimental to romance?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do, yes. One came between a boyfriend and myself once.
Oh, really? You broke up?
Yeah, he left me, yes. So I went and had it removed.
Well, that'll do, Effie. Right now, it's time for you to answer some of your listeners' letters here. Here's the first letter. Dear Miss Clinker.
That's me.
Yes. What should I do if a man gets fresh with me? Signed, Worried.
Dear Worried, if a man gets fresh with me, I usually tell him a thing or two.
Yes. What?
My address and phone number.
Here's one from a listener in Milwaukee.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Dear Miss Clinker, I'm going steady with a young man who wants to marry me.
Lucky girl.
Yeah. He's big and handsome.
Oh, I hate her.
Yeah. But I don't think he is ready for such an important step. What should I do? Signed, Anxious.
Dear Anxious, send this boy to me.
Yeah.
I'll give him his basic training.
Yeah.
Sign it. I'm anxious, too.
Yeah, all right. Here's one. Dear Miss Clinker, I am a girl of 65, but the only time I feel young is after I've had a few drinks.
Yeah. Well, getting boiled will take your wrinkles out of any old prune.
Well, that will do, I think, of that. But before we go, do you have a final word of advice to our audience?
That I do, yes. Here is a word to all married couples in the audience. Dear, dear married couples, never, and I mean never, never let the sun set on an argument. Buy a sun lamp and fight all night.
And now the Mellow Men, front and center. Gentlemen, what are you going to sing for us tonight?
We are going to sing Le Grand Tour de l'Amour.
Well, bon voyage, men.
Thank you. Oh, le grand tour de l'amour, le grand tour de l'amour. I'm a millionaire traveling everywhere in my travel brochure.
In Switzerland, a little Swiss miss taught me to ski. In Spain, a senorita taught me to tango. In Napoli, my Bella Marie, she taught me how to sing. A bunny lass in Scotland taught me how to heel and swing.
Oh, le grand tour de l'amour, le grand tour de l'amour.
Haven't got a care, love is everywhere on the grand tour de l'amour.
Le grand tour de l'amour, le grand tour de l'amour. I'm a millionaire traveling everywhere in my travel brochure.
The sweet word full of Turkish delight in Turkestan. A hoopalele lady taught me to hula. In Portugal, a fisherman's daughter took my heart by storm. And up in Iceland, nights were 6 months long and love was born.
Oh, le grand tour de l'amour, le grand tour de l'amour.
Haven't got a care, love is everywhere on the grand tour de l'amour.
Le grand tour de l'amour, le grand tour de l'amour.
I'm a millionaire traveling everywhere.
He's a millionaire traveling everywhere on the grand tour de la grand tour de la grand tour de l'amour.
And now, folks, we have a little extra treat for you. Are you watching your waistline, worried about diets, calories, and vitamins? Well, then, you'll be very interested in meeting tonight's guest. We are fortunate in having with us one of the country's leading nutrition experts. She is the author of many books on the subject, her latest and most popular being Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit, and Let's Cook It Right. I'd like you to meet Adele Davis.
Well, we're very happy to have you with us tonight, Adele.
Thank you, Edgar.
And I've been hearing many wonderful things about you and your work and how your advice can make a person healthy, happy, peppy, young.
Just a minute, Edgar.
That's enough, huh?
I think so.
Well, now, what about those of us who have been feeling maybe just a little bit tired lately? You know, I've been giving my rocking chair more of a workout than my golf clubs lately. Do I have to settle for that, or can diet do a little more for me in the way of pep, do you think?
Well, I think every one of us produce energy or fatigue in ourselves every day, depending on what we've chosen to eat for breakfast. If it, breakfast doesn't need to be a large meal at all, but it should be a meal that's very high in protein, otherwise fatigue is produced.
What would you call a good breakfast or the right breakfast?
Well, for instance, if you're going to have meat only once a day, it would be best to have it for breakfast. If you're going to have milk only once a day, it should be taken at breakfast. The good old bacon and ham stands up very well for good breakfast, provided there's a bit of fruit with it and perhaps a glass of milk.
Well, now, that's sort of reversing the procedure. You know, the lightest meal has been at breakfast with many of us, you know.
Well, that's one reason that there's so much fatigue and so much nervous tension. In general, it's the best idea to have breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. In other words, just reverse it.
So that's
so that the energy is produced in the first of the day.
Well, isn't it nice to know why so many of us are a mess now? No? Now, what about this habit of nibbling between meals? I suppose you frown on that.
Not necessarily. If you don't add food between meals, but eat more or less the same amount, having smaller meals and a little bit more between meals is an excellent idea. And especially a good idea for youngsters coming home from school to eat something as soon as they get home from school, for instance.
Well, I thought mothers tried to keep their children from eating after school because it spoils their appetite for dinners.
Well, that's just the point. So they will spoil their appetite for dinner, so that they won't eat too much for dinner. Then they'll have a good appetite and have a breakfast that can set up energy for the entire day.
Well, now we're getting something. And what about candy for a quick energizer? Does it actually serve that purpose?
Unfortunately, it doesn't. Of course, it does give you a momentary pickup. But when candy is eaten, the sugar from the candy goes very quickly into the blood, and increase in the blood sugar causes the pancreas to put out more insulin, which removes the sugar from the blood, and it actually produces fatigue. So that there's less energy, and of course there's always the problem of the calories, too.
There is that, yes, yes, there is. Said he, pulling himself up a little bit. You're staring at me, Adele.
Oh,
Which brings me to my next problem, Adele. How can we keep our pot from becoming a double boiler, or shouldn't we even touch a pot?
Well, the calories haven't changed much since Eve gave Adam an apple, as far as that's concerned. But one of the things that I think is important is that people are inclined to under-eat in order to reduce, and they let their energy go so low that they haven't the pep to work off the calories. Again, it goes back to producing energy with a high-protein breakfast so that people have enough pep to run upstairs and do a little work, and then they don't have to keep their calories nearly as low.
Well, their doctors are saying, don't run upstairs, don't use an escalator. Yeah.
Well, this is confusing. As a matter of fact, one of our main problems is that people don't eat enough nowadays because they don't take enough exercise that they can't. In the days when our grandmothers were around, our grandparents ate 4 to 5 times more than we did. And all the food they ate was high in vitamins, high in minerals, high in protein, simply because we had no refined foods at that time. And one of the reasons for so much ill health today is that not only the food's refined, but people aren't eating much. They can't, you see.
Not enough exercise.
That's very much true. Well, and then besides, our soil isn't nearly as good as it used to be.
I see. Oh, now the soil comes into it, too. Well, that's important. I mean, you mean the land is sort of dissipating itself, too. That's getting too refined, isn't it? Using the same land for vegetable gardens year after year. Is that the point?
Well, that is the point. And then, too, a great many commercial fertilizers are used that saturate the soil solution and prevent other minerals that don't dissolve very easily from being absorbed and carried up into the plant. Then, too, the humus, or the compost, we might say, in the soil is decreasing tremendously. In order to have good nutritious foods, you must have a lot of decaying material in the soil so the bacteria and fungus and molds will grow on it. The bacteria break the minerals down to make them available to plants. The fungus carries it into the plant. Molds produce such things as penicillin or amycin stuff, which is actually carried also in the plant and keeps it immune from bugs and keeps it from being destroyed. So that you can have healthy
plants. Is there a difference in the flavor of organically grown fruits and vegetables?
There's a tremendous difference. And one of our problems that almost every mother over the country will tell you that the children won't eat. And the reason is, I feel, that our foods have very poor flavor because they're grown on poor soils.
Would you give a list of things to be avoided in our search for a better diet?
I very much dislike the negative approach of the avoiding thing. If you get people interested in nutrition and see that that has a personal value for every one of us, in that it gives people not only more pep, but makes them more attractive and makes them look younger for their age and helps them to live longer, nicer skin and nicer hair and have more fun out of life. There's no point at all in good health unless you're going to enjoy it when you get it. They start doing the positive things, and then you don't worry about the negative ones.
Could anything be done dietetically to improve, say, Mortimer Snerd's IQ?
Well, perhaps our thinking certainly could be improved, because brain cells, for instance, use only sugar for energy, and if we're going to eat too much sugar, as I explained, it brings down the amount of sugar in the blood, and you think much more slowly, more confused.
Proteins help your thinking.
Proteins actually do, all of them, you know.
Well, we hear a great deal these days about, you know, teenagers being undernourished. Is this possible in a country as rich as ours?
It's very possible, and it's very much of an actuality. Our youngsters, so many of them are going to school without breakfast, 2/3 of them perhaps, according to surveys. And then there's the soft drinks and the hamburgers and so on that they're getting for lunch, and light bread and cookies and candy bars after school. It's very much the same thing, so that there's a very widespread, many studies are being made, in which showing that our adolescent youngsters are extremely malnourished.
Yes, they're really undermining their health then, too.
Very definitely so. And the appalling part is that they are going to be parents in very few years. Over a fourth of the youngsters who marry below 20 years old. And this needless malnutrition is going to not only result in very poor health now, and is resulting, but in health of the future.
Yeah. But by proper education, these young people can be trained to just what is and what is not proper diet, can't they, I should think?
That's true, and nutrition should be taught. Really sound personal nutrition should be taught in every school, in every high school in our entire country. And if it's put over in a personal way and show them that their pimply skins can be avoided and posture improved and they're going to be better at athletics and have fewer colds and have more sex appeal, sniffly nose kids aren't especially attractive, for instance, wonderful results have been obtained just by teaching high school youngsters nutrition so that they get much more excited about an adult, as a rule, older people.
Well, I think that has brought up a very interesting thing for us to think about, and I'm sure that we as parents can do a better job, too, with your book, Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. And I can not only help my little daughter, but I might even learn a few things about baldness, poor vision, bulging waistline, and how to avoid them. Well, who knows, I might even be the next Don Juan of television if I get on this diet. That's asking too much of a vitamin, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think so, if you just keep the negative approach, Edgar.
Well, thank you, Adele Davis, for being our guest tonight. Very
good. And now, lovely Carol Richards returns to sing Rose Tattoo.
With an antibiotic?
Yes, Super Anahis antibiotic nasal spray. It opens up your stopped up nose, dries up runny nose, relieves head cold miseries fast, lets you breathe again fast. It's the only nasal spray in the world with Bonside, the amazing discovery that actually melts away mucus, stops gagging and coughing of post-nasal drip, plus a special antibiotic ingredient that kills on contact dangerous germs known to cause nasal distress. Use Super Anahis antibiotic nasal spray as directed. Safe for the entire family. For nasal distress, get Super Anahis antibiotic nasal spray today.
Mothers, here's a great chest rub improvement. Super Anahis Rub, an amazing new combination of four ingredients so deep penetrating you can see it work. Super Anahist Rub brings a healthy red glow to the skin as it stimulates circulation, helps loosen phlegm, break up bronchial congestion of colds. Get Super Anahist Deep Penetrating Rub.
Oh, college days, oh, knowledge days, when midnight oil was burning in those ivy halls of learning, and Plato in his grave was turning in college days.
Ladies and gentlemen, ever seeking new fields to conquer, our panel of intellectual titans this week enters into the arena of political thinking for a brilliant, incisive, and timely discussion on the subject, whither politics. It is a great pleasure for me to introduce our end table. Thank you and good evening, panel.
Hiya, Jim.
Good evening, Mr.
Yes. Yes. Panel. It is an honor for me to present our guest of the evening. He has flown here specially to help us with our discussion of weather politics. And I'd like you to meet the Right Honorable Senator Horatio Ashwood Brittingham.
Greetings and hi all, you little old taxpayers, you. This is indeed a pleasure for me to be here tonight, I do declare. Yes, sir. Hush my mouth and mouth my hush.
Pardon me, old boy, but would you happen to be a Southerner?
Am I a Southerner? Why, sir, when I was born, I wasn't dropped down the chimney by no Yankee stoic. I was shoved up through a crack in the floor by a boll weevil.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Senator. You know, I used to live in the South myself.
You're from the South? Sure enough.
No, I'm from Nashville. That's right next to sure enough.
Well, I detect a note of sarcasm in your voice, and I don't like it.
Now, just a second, Senator. You can't push me around. I'm a citizen. I collect unemployment insurance.
That's enough now. Now, please, Senator, pull up a chair and join us.
Thank you, sir. Is it all right if I sit next to you, Professor Noble?
Oh, righto.
What's the matter, sir? You look like you're in pain.
Righto.
Sir, why do you keep on saying righto?
Because your chair is on my righto.
And you, sir, you're Mortimer, I presume.
Oh, I'm Mortimer J. Snurd.
Oh, bless both your little old heads.
Now, before I forget, Professor Kirkwood, I thought it'd be nice if we made our guests feel right at home, so I've had some mint juleps prepared, and they're on that table right there in back of you. Would you serve them to the Senator?
Mint julep? Oh, I used to love them back in sure enough.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Colonel Bergen, sir. Mint julep coming up.
Yeah. Very good. Now, gentlemen, I think we'd better get on with our discussion.
Left toe.
Left toe?
Yes, my right toe is damaged.
Yeah, we know. Please, our topic is weather politics, and I think that...
Pardon me, sir. But here's your mint julep, Senator, sir.
Yeah. Kirkwood, have you been sampling that julep?
Well, I spilled a little and I licked it up. Before it could eat a hole through the floor.
Good work, sir. No, where were we?
I say, Senator, old boy, could you pass the julep, please?
Oh, yes. I was going to make a speech.
Senator, I say, could you pass the julep?
Oh, you're wasting your time, Ray. He's a senator. He won't pass anything. Oh, tiptoe to the julep.
Yeah, please. Perhaps we'd better get on to some specific political question. I'm sure our audience would like to hear our panel's opinions on the problems of the day. For instance, Senator, how do you feel about the Taft-Hartley bill?
Well, I think we should pay it.
I see. Professor Snurd, how do you feel about the Tidelands?
I think they ought to be untied right away.
Professor Noble, if you were in Congress, what would you do for the little man?
I'd introduce him to a little woman.
Well... Professor Snurd, how do you stand on taxes?
Like I always stand, pigeon-toed.
Pardon me, you all. Oh, but nice. Here's your mint kernel, Senator Julep.
No.
You can spill some more of that julep, Kirkwood.
Yes, but this time I caught it before it hit the floor. Oh, I'm getting Dixie fried tonight.
Yes.
You are.
Well, please, we must get on with our discussion. Professor Snurd, what do you think about inflation?
Well, I never touch the stuff. I'm a toe tickler.
Oh.
Knee tickler. Chip tuffler. Noodle picker. Bottle pepper. Boople popper.
You mean you're a teetotaler?
I never touch that stuff either.
You never came near it, that's for sure.
Mortimer, your stupidity is growing week by week.
No,
I never had it so good. No,
I never knew. Professor Noble, how do you feel about the high cost of living?
Well, old boy, no matter how high it goes, I'd like to still keep on doing it, too.
Well, how would you tell the difference, old Europe?
Please, don't breathe on me. You're singeing my mustache.
Senator, what do you think about women in office?
Well, sir, that depends on whose office they are in.
Whose office they're in? Yeah. Here's your senator, man.
Sir, Colonel Julep.
Thanks for the mint wood, Kirk Julep.
Yeah. Oh, you're just a chip off the old stag, Julep, Senator.
Sir.
Hey, that last julep was really fizzing, wasn't it?
It has to be the final buzzer. Our time is up. Senator, do you have a final word, perhaps? Please, Kirkwood, I was speaking to the senator.
Well, sir, before we go off the air, I'd like to thank all those julep, people who have promised to support me next November.
Yeah, but who's going to hold you up until then?
Pass the senator, julep.
Be long, yes, Professor Mint. Here's the Kirkwood.
Good night, every julep. I mean everybody.
Folks, tonight, the commercial is really a newscast, because tonight we have the privilege of introducing the most exciting television sets ever built. New CBS television sets with all nine of TVE's most wanted advances. And here's John Heaston to break the news.
Thanks, Edgar. Folks, television has really taken a giant step. And when you see the great new 1956 CBS television sets, you'll realize how far TV has come since you bought your present set. See new CBS robot tuning that changes channels automatically at the touch of a button. See new CBS remote control that lets you tune your set from your chair anywhere in the room. Hear the CBS choir of speakers with superb three-speaker high-fidelity sound. And those are just a few of TV's nine most wanted advances found only in the new CBS TV sets. CBS sets are made by a division of the Columbia Broadcasting System to give you more of the best than all the rest. And they'll be at your dealer soon, priced from $149.95. So make your next set a better set. Make it a CBS. Now here's Edgar Bergen.
It's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here he is with Snurd's words for the birds.
Two heads are better than one, but very conspicuous.
But... Until next Sunday, good night, Dick.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snurd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richard, Gary Crosby, and the Mellomen was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose, Hilda Black, and Zeno Clinker. This is John Heaston speaking.